Good morning, everybody. We got Susan doing the Nate. Even though Nate's not here. Oh, so great. Good morning, Jeremy. We love our good mornings. We love our howdies. Please put a note in the comments. It is so good to be with you this Friday morning. Well, as you can tell, we have somebody different with us. So let me go ahead and more formally introduce us. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Wake Up to Life with Lauren and Nate, your favorite pro-life morning show. Once again, I'm Laura Muzica, President and CEO of Sidewalk Advocates for Life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Susan O'Neill, Senior Regional Programs Manager of Sidewalk Advocates for Life. I advise our valiant sidewalk advocate leaders and teams in the eastern part of the country, and it is my joy to join Lauren and all of you as co-host of the morning show this week.
Wonderful. And yes, just as a reminder, this show is here to share the latest in the pro-life world, how we can continue to change not only the law, but hearts and minds on this, the preeminent issue of our times, the cause of life. We always say it is all right here, folks. Prayer, news, stories, a special interview, tips, more prayer. Again, you come here for 40 minutes, and in that 40-minute time period, you're going to get everything from A to Z on what's going on in the pro-life world and how you can be encouraged in the greatest human rights movement on earth. Just as a reminder, this show is available here live every Friday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, on Facebook Live as well as YouTube, and it's usually posted later in the day to wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, we just want to have a moment to kind of unpack for you guys who Susan is, right? So Susan, if someone were to ask you who Susan is, where are you located, what's going on in your life, 1 minute or less, what would you say?
I would say that I live in Virginia, that I have a husband and three children. We recently bought a home, and we're living in Southampton County now. So that's Susan. I've been with the organization in some form or another for 9 years, and it's just been a great joy to be able to be part of this organization.
Awesome. Yeah. So Susan is actually the longest running employee in Sidewalk Advocates for Life besides me. And we're getting ready to hit our 10-year anniversary here on April 1st, which, by the way, is like a terrible anniversary date, like April Fool's, right? 10-year anniversary. Just kidding. But we are serious. April 1st, 2014 is the date that we actually hit the sidewalk with our inaugural 22 locations. And look what God has done. We're now at over 270 sidewalk teams across the nation, Mexico City, Colombia, oh my goodness, Puerto Rico, although that's a U.S. territory, not so much international. We're starting to grow internationally, and we give God all the glory and praise for that. And we just thank all of you, our sidewalk saints, those of you who pray for us and support this mission. We're all part of this great army of light here on earth, marching forward for an end to abortion, to save lives in the meantime, and really bring souls to Christ, right? That's what this whole movement is all about. Again, Nate is on vacation. We gave him a vacation. Isn't that nice of us, Susan? We actually gave him a vacation.
Yeah.
He's not good about taking a vacation. Neither am I. A lot of us aren't, right? But we made him take a vacation. And so he is off today. And so Susan and I will be leading the charge. All right. Well, with all that being said, normally we'd have Nate open us in prayer, but I have the great honor this week. So let's go ahead and pray and get rolling, if y'all would join me. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for the gift of life and the gift of each other. We thank you, God, that we can be a small part of what you are doing to end abortion. God, we just give you this time for whoever will be watching or listening, that they would be encouraged today, Lord, in the cause of life and wherever they are in their lives. God, that you would just be so present to them, helping them to do just the next right thing in their lives in this battle. God, we just continue to lift up post-Roe America to you and everything that you are doing. We praise you for the approximately now 14 states that protect life. We know that we obviously have more work to do. We pray over our special interview today. We are so excited to have him with us and the great work of his hands that he'll be sharing with our audience and how people can get more involved in really the abortion capital of the country and beyond. God, we just ask that you would be in our conversation and all that we do as we march forward to reach these precious moms in crisis and save families from the trauma of abortion. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. It's in your most holy and precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and go on to our big headline, and then Susan and I are going to have a moment of discussion and move forward with the rest of the show. Here is what is going on in the world. So this is interesting. This is just something to kind of, you know, acknowledge and unpack for a second. So there's a new estimate that shows that in 2023, there was actually more than 1 million abortions. And this is actually a tap up from the year before. But again, let's take a moment to kind of unpack this and see this for what it is. The Guttmacher Institute, an independent pro-abortion research organization, just released updated abortion estimates for 2023. The new figures show that 1,026,690 abortions were performed in 2023, which is an increase of 10% since the year 2020. This is consistent with a trend in increasing abortion rates that started around 2017. Another key finding, this is so interesting, another key finding in this was the increase in chemical abortion. Overall, 63% of all abortions, so this is the majority, right, of all abortions performed in 2023 were chemical, an increase of 10 percentage points from 2020. Now, Dr. Michael New, one of our colleagues from the Charlotte Lozier Institute, however, encourages everyone to approach these numbers with some degree of skepticism. By Guttmacher's own admission, the calculations for the monthly abortion provision survey, so that's how this data was gathered. If you were to dig into that, it's the monthly abortion provision survey, comes from a slimmer portfolio of data and designed to produce faster calculations on the incidence of abortion. So the 2023 abortion estimates may not be as reliable as previous ones. Taken at face value, this data shows that expanding access to chemical abortion increases the incidence of abortion. That at least is a fair trend, right, to understand. In 2016, the FDA extended the gestational age limit for chemical abortion from 7 to 10 weeks. They also reduced the number of times women seeking chemical abortion had to visit a physician's office. And then in 2022, the Biden administration continued the COVID-era policy of allowing women to obtain chemical abortion pills without an in-person medical examination. That's scary. So again, people are able to get these dangerous drugs so much faster. So all in all, to kind of wrap all of this up, there's still very strong statistical evidence that newly enacted pro-life laws are preventing abortions and saving lives. For example, three separate analyses of Texas birth data have found that the Texas Heartbeat Act just prior to Roe's overturn saved over 1,000 lives a month. Also, a study published by the Institute for Labor Economics saw increased birth rates in many states that enforced strong pro-life laws shortly after the Dobbs decision. Enacting strong legal protections for preborn children is still a worthwhile policy goal for pro-lifers. So kind of here's kind of more so what I see in all of this. Dr. Michael New is one of the most well-respected statisticians in the pro-life, pro-family movement. He's a fellow with the Charlotte Lozier Institute. He is a professor at a local university in Washington, D.C., in that area. And he's cautioning us because, again, this is data that just initially came to us, right? We knew that there was a risk that as chemical abortion became more prevalent and common sense safeguards were taken down by the FDA, that we would likely see an uptick in abortion. But what's interesting is we haven't yet done a full, thorough survey of exactly what 2023 looks like. We're still gathering that data. And we did initially see, after the Dobbs decision was handed down, that the pro-life states saw an uptick in women choosing life simply because it was illegal in their state. We actually saw this on the sidewalk. I still remember in Houston, Texas, one of our leaders saying, you know, this was soon after the law had been overturned and Texas had made abortion illegal. There was a woman, for example, who came out of the abortion facility one day, you know, still getting her mind around state law. And she said, they told me that it's now illegal. I can't have an abortion. So I guess I'll go home and have the baby. And that was not an isolated incident. We heard from sidewalk advocates all over the country that women were saying similar things to them. So just because it was illegal, women were being encouraged to check out their options and their resources. Now, on one hand, to me, that's scary, right? You would want someone to do that right away, regardless of state law. But because it was not readily available, it really encouraged women to pause that much more. and consider their options before they traveled 300, 600 miles away to the next nearest abortion facility. So Susan, I just want to kind of get your take on this as well. You live in the great state of Virginia. I know that Virginia allows abortion through a good point in pregnancy. I happen to be in Texas here where it is illegal. So this is our initial data. We don't yet have solid numbers yet, but it is interesting to see. I mean, at the very least, Dr. New is saying, hey, you know, chemical abortion, we can see that this does make a difference in the numbers, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Chemical abortion is certainly the most prevalent way that people are getting abortions these days. And So I think the abortion industry wants everyone to think this is so commonplace and everybody's had an abortion, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we should wait a little bit, just like Dr. New said, and let's see what some more numbers show.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think it's important that we have looked at this survey, right, and acknowledge this, because we have got to get a hold of this train. We knew that as chemical abortion was made more and more available, and again, this is a serious, you know, drug regimen. We're talking about women on the regular who are going into the emergency room with sepsis. They're going in with really egregious symptoms. There are women who have died. They've bled out in their bathrooms from chemical abortion. I have friends, we have friends of friends in the pro-life movement. They've come to us, they're now pro-life, right? Because they've experienced chemical abortion and how it hurt them and their families, right? Much less, of course, the fact that it takes innocent human lives. And so anyways, I think if there's a lesson here, at least preliminarily, it's that we have got to find a way to reach these precious women in their moment of crisis before they order these through the mail or they walk into one of these facilities and don't know about abortion pill reversal, much less other options, right? All right. Thanks, Susan. Well, it is time. It is time for our victory story. This week, Susan has the story. So Susan, story time. You want to share with us?
I sure do. I love this. We recently received this report from one of our local leaders in the Southeast. And she says, along with a mobile unit team, we were the only group present on the sidewalk today. And here's what we were able to witness. Despite having a paid local police officer giving us a really hard time for speaking to cars at the driveway, we still gave out 5 gift bags in our 3-hour shift. They also witnessed one of their bilingual sidewalk advocates having a very extensive conversation with a Spanish-speaking couple. And that couple only went inside for 10 minutes and then they left. They don't know exactly what they chose to do, but they know that they did not stay for a procedure that day. And then finally, they had the manager of a nearby business comment on how he was supportive of their efforts. He has been managing this local business there for the last 5 years, and he has taken notice of how their technique and strategy is very different from other groups he's seen. And he said he really appreciated them being out there and the way that they treat people with love and kindness. He even offered to let their team use the restroom in his office if they ever needed it. Wow. Talk about a blessed day on the sidewalk. Thank you so much to this wonderful team for sharing this with us. And thank you to all of our leaders and advocates that we serve that are reaching out even as we speak this morning, because without your yes, we would not be where we are today in Sidewalk Advocates for Life history. So thanks so much for sharing that. And what a great day on the sidewalk.
Oh, that's so beautiful. You know, I love it when nearby businesses and vendors come out to, I mean, first of all, ask what we're doing on the sidewalk, right? But they're so moved by that type of ministry. It's not unusual for someone to share a kind word or bring us hot chocolate or, you know, I'm still waiting for the day that they bring me a free puppy out on the sidewalk. That would be really nice. Although my husband would be in protest because we already have 3. I like to rescue humans and dogs. And Susan, you're much the same way. You love animals too. But anyways, you know, it is so beautiful how it brings a community together and people are so inspired by our ministry. So we evangelize simply just by being there. So anyways, thank you, Susan. Beautiful story. Thank you for sharing. Okay, here is my tip for the week. And then we're going to go into our special interview. I'm so excited about the interview that we have coming up. This is just a really amazing servant who is doing so much great work in the Northeast, in the abortion capital and beyond. So I can't wait for you to hear from him. But our tip for this week has to do with thinking strategically. Think strategically, okay? What I mean by that is a lot of times when we proceed in our pro-life work, we're tempted to just kind of throw spaghetti against the wall, right? Well, let's try this, let's try that. And there's good in that for sure. But I really want to challenge us to take the best of our gifts and skills and talents and employ them in the greatest human rights movement on earth. When we, for example, go to an abortion facility, I would encourage us not to just, you know, plant ourselves somewhere and start handing out information, but to look at a site strategically, to actually look at this abortion or abortion referral facility and say, okay, first off, where can I reach clients? It looks like that there's a driveway on public right of way. It looks like I can put someone by the fence. It looks like there's another exit, you know, down the street just a little bit, adjacent to the abortion center parking lot. Maybe we need to put another advocate down there to catch people as they're leaving if we don't catch them on the front end, right? I still remember our leader and colleague, Mark Cavalier of Southwest Coalition for Life, saying that at one point it hit him that if the abortion industry is working full time to hurt the women and children of his community, how can we as a church only respond part time? Now, when I say that, I don't literally mean that everybody's got to, you know, quit their jobs and be out on the sidewalk because of our particular vocation or station in life. We may not be able to do that. But I think what we can do is say to ourselves, if we really want to make a difference out here, we need to be here. And we need to be gradually working up to covering these business hours, to thinking strategically, to looking at each one of these entrances, to trying to reach every eternal soul possible who's going in and out of these facilities and giving them those life-affirming alternatives, right? Looking at our literature, looking at our signage, is it professional? We have ready-made materials here at Sidewalk Advocates for Life. If you're someone who goes to the sidewalk and you're like, gosh, I would love, you know, quality training and materials and support, that's what we do, right? Whether or not you join us, what I really want to encourage you to do today is to challenge yourself to think on that higher level. As 1 Corinthians says, to run as if to win. This battle is too important for us to just check a box or just say, hey, at least I went to the sidewalk today. Again, I'm so grateful for that. We should all be grateful for our presence on the sidewalk. But again, the Lord has given us so many gifts and talents that we can put in service of this great mission. And I think it's so incumbent upon us that at some point we step back and we go, where are we in our journey? What's the amount of coverage during the week? What are our signs and materials look like? What does our positioning on the sidewalk look like? Are we doing the most effective thing possible to reach as many people as possible going in and out of this facility? So anyways, I hope that's an encouragement to you today. If we at Sidewalk Advocates for Life can be a further encouragement to you, sidewalkadvocates.org is the magic website. Again, sidewalkadvocates.org. All right, there you go.
Great tip.
Thanks, Susan. Lots of fun. All right, so we are just ticking through the show here. We did our headline, victory story, and tip. Now, I am so excited to introduce our special interview today. He is no less deserving of a drum roll. Producer, do we have a drum roll? Going once, going twice. We'd love to introduce to you this morning, Reverend Jim Harden, the CEO of Compass Care and president of EMC Frontline. Hello, Jim. How are you this morning?
Lauren, Susan, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
It's so good to have you. We see you as one of the Lord's strategic chess pieces there in New York and beyond. We're so excited to hear more of what Compass Care and EMC is doing to respond to the post-Roe crisis. We're just so excited to have you with us. So let's go ahead and take a minute. We'd love to hear more about you, Jim, and your work with EMC Frontline and Compass Care. And again, all you're doing in post-Roe America to reach mothers in crisis and to save lives.
Well, I'm honored to be able to share with you what God is doing through his people. Mm. I'm basically a guy that's got front row seats to how God is saving lives in what you described as the abortion capital. It really is the abortion capital. I mean, New York State was one of the first states in the union to legalize abortion in 1970 and basically see the beginning of what we've been calling abortion tourism. Women traveling from all over the country to get abortions in New York State, New York City. And we have warned that, you know, should Roe versus Wade be overturned, this was back in 2018, 2019, that abortion tourism would start up again in abortion hub states, because the abortion industry would have to change their business model, being forced out of states that are more pro-life and regulating them out of business. And so they did. They, in a post-Roe world, the abortion industry changed their business model to a hub and spoke plan, and worked closely with pro-abortion politicians in charge of the Democrat Party in California, Illinois, New York, to promote, protect, and pay for the expansion of abortion industry infrastructure. Okay. They've been doing this in New York State since 2019, expanding infrastructure and protecting abortionists from criminal liability. Just amazing to see. This is not about women. This is not about protecting women's rights. This is not about women's health. This is all about abortion. And so they spent millions of taxpayer dollars to expand infrastructure and, you know, with respect specifically to, you know, recruiting abortionists and getting systems in place to send chemical abortion drugs to pro-life states, to women's homes. Again, this is all illegal. It's all illegal. And in my mind, if you simply enforce the current laws on the books with respect to the Comstock Act, abortion would go away. Almost all of it would go away overnight, because all these abortionists, the pharmaceutical companies, et cetera, would be sued, thrown in jail, and all this money would be able to go to root out these criminals that are protecting the abortion industry and using the abortion industry as a glove to cover the fingerprints of the sex trafficking industry. I mean, we're seeing women that are being trafficked come to our offices now in Brooklyn. And we're trying to figure out how to manage in some of these circumstances. But New York City is, in a sense, the heart of the abortion capital. And what I mean by that is Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion business on the planet. They're headquartered in Manhattan. They provide 40% of all abortions in America. Most people don't realize that. Danco Laboratories, the primary producer of chemical abortion, which represents now 63% of all abortions, as you described earlier, is based in New York City. Brooklyn, mm-hmm. Kings County, has more abortions than any other county in America. And Compass Care's office in Brooklyn is the only pro-life medical office in the entire county, serving, or the only ethical alternative. And so we are so happy. So we've got offices in Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, and now Brooklyn, and we're looking to expand into the Bronx with a mobile medical unit alongside Sidewalk Advocates. You Sidewalk Advocates for Life has been in New York City on the front lines of the abortion battle for a long time. I don't know how long. Probably a couple of years now, right? Several years.
Yeah, we've been there a good handful of years. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so encouraging to have to come alongside people that pro-life Christians that have been there for so long doing this work. And we're hoping that we launch this mobile medical unit alongside of Sidewalk Advocates in the Bronx in a couple of weeks. We've been training our nurses already. We've had our mobile medical unit deployed down there, where we've now sent it back up to Albany to get rewrapped, you know, because we got a specific Compass Care EMC wrap for it. The Bronx is fascinating. You know, you look at the need. The need is so great. And we've got for example, in the you all know the abortion industry targets minority communities. Well, the Bronx, you know, has one of the highest rates of abortion in America. And, if for every 100 black babies born in the Bronx, 100 are aborted. I mean, think about that for a second.
Wow.
100 black babies born, 100 are aborted. Now, you compare that to the average, let's say, white community. For every 100 white babies born, 14 are aborted. The lion's share of abortion, the burden of abortion, is placed on the black community. And, this is, 14% of the population, yet they're bearing almost 40% of the load of abortion. Look, we've got to step in. Someone's got to step in, because the black community all across this country is being decimated by abortion. And so, of course, we're bringing the gospel there, too. We believe that unplanned pregnancy is an opportunity whereby God gives a woman a crossroads of grace. You know, she can choose to make one more poor decision in a long line of poor decisions and have an abortion, or she can choose to make the first positive decision in a long line of future positive decisions and have the baby. You know, we believe that God is sovereign, And he allows for certain things to happen to us. And every medical condition, including pregnancy, is an opportunity to orient ourselves back to God and more, and rightly toward our fellow man. And the first person, of course, that a woman puts herself in right relationship with after God is her own child. And so this is an opportunity for Christian pro-life organizations to not only share the gospel, but also help save lives. You're saving the life of the spiritual life of a woman, but also the physical life of a child. It's an amazing opportunity. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it here too. There's only two things in this world that are sacred, and it's God and people. And we've got to remember that there's only two things in this world that are sacred, God and people. And that helps to prioritize our time. You talk about, you know, being full time, so to speak, you know, the abortion industry is full time destroying lives. We've got to be full time in saving lives. Jesus made us radically responsible for our neighbor. He didn't say, oh, the medical system's responsible. He didn't say the educational system's responsible. He didn't say the government's responsible. No, no. He said, when you see someone beaten and left for dead on the dangerous Jericho road of culture, what do you do? You stop and you give that person your full attention to give them their lives back, just like Jesus did for you and I. He became our good Samaritan so that we can go and do likewise. And there's no one more at risk in our culture today than a woman who says, I have to choose between my life and my baby's life, than a child, than a preborn boy or girl who is truly fatherless, who has no one looking out for him or her, and except for people like you and I, who are willing to give voice to these children by helping women have their babies. So this is an exciting time. We're hoping to build the infrastructure, continue to build the pro-life infrastructure in New York City, in the Bronx, in Staten Island, as well as Queens.
So good.
That's fantastic. And it was such a treat to meet you in person. I was traveling in upstate New York recently, visiting several of our locations, and I had the great joy to get to go over and meet Jim in person and his new COO and see their wonderful center that they have in Rochester. And I know our advocates are thrilled about what you've got coming up here in the Bronx. So could you speak a little bit to, as the leader of a large pregnancy center system, why partner with Sidewalk Advocates and why seek a mobile unit?
Well, sometimes, you know, there's just no other way to reach women than to be right where they are, walk in or walking out of the abortion clinic. We're getting censored, of course, online by Google and by Yelp. It's becoming increasingly difficult to access women through, you know, traditional or electronic marketing channels. And so the kind of like, you know, being on the street is a wonderful mercy mission. Oftentimes women don't know they have a choice. Oftentimes women, they feel stuck. When a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, she says, oftentimes I'm trapped. I've got no other choice. I need to have an abortion. That's what she's thinking. And we know that there are resources available so that we can actually give her a vision of her future after having had a child. If we can just tell her, if we can just get to her. And most women, they're being told that even if they start the chemical abortion process, that it's not reversible. But we know that's not true. We do chemical abortion reversals all the time. And if she walks out of the clinic having taken that first dose of mifepristone, which is illegal in all states, by the way, and I can tell you more about what I mean there, but we can actually reverse the effects of that if we can catch it within the first 72 hours. And so, you know, this is a mercy mission, and we with Sidewalk Advocates for Life are experts at reaching women, engaging women in a loving, dignified manner on the sidewalk, going in or coming out of the abortion clinic, and we have the ability to support her instantaneously with much needed ethical medical care. And when I say ethical medical care, I really mean ethical medical, because when you compare what we do to the abortion industry, it's night and day. You know, there's the original Hippocratic Oath. You know this, Lauren and Susan. The original Hippocratic Oath said, there's a phrase in it that says, I will not give a woman an abortive remedy. And that's an old way of saying abortion is not medical care. Why? Because the purpose of medicine is to heal and to maintain the health of the patient. And abortion does neither of those two things for either the woman or the child, right? And so abortion is the original quackery. And so we've got to be there on the street with the ability to give her the diagnostics that she needs and the care that she needs and the loving support that she desperately needs in order to see her way clear to say no to abortion, because that's the problem. And the problem is she doesn't feel like she can say no. There's a study that came out recently that said up to 70% of women that have had abortions felt coerced into getting one. Coerced.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's like 700,000 abortions in America of women that felt coerced into getting it. It doesn't have to be that way. You and I know all we've got to do is be there for her. And 9 times out of 10, she's going to have that baby.
That's right. That is so true. That is so true. We've seen it firsthand, and we've witnessed the coercion too, where, you know, somebody is, you know, grabbed by the hair and being dragged in there. Or mom is, you know, running the show and she's shoving her daughter from behind. Like Susan and I have seen it all. Jim, this has been such an eye-opening discussion. I mean, I we did an analysis, I think, right after Roe was overturned, and we looked at the number of abortion facilities in the top 19 metro areas of the country that had the lion's share of abortion. Of course, New York was at the top. I want to say at the time that we counted 87 abortion facilities in New York City Metro. So I just want to encourage everybody to pray for Jim, for Reverend Hardin and his team there at Compass Care and EMC Frontline, because this is no small task that they are employing right now. Jim, as we wrap up today, I would love to hear how you have seen the landscape change in the Dobbs era since Roe v. Wade was overturned. And then also, how can people get a hold of you and Compass Care and EMC Frontline?
Oh, that's a great question in terms of how the landscape has changed. It's a new world. It's a totally new world. Yeah. A lot of people thought, well, you know, if we just overturn Roe versus Wade, then abortion will go away. Well, you and I knew that was not going to be the case. It really was not the end of abortion. It was the end of the beginning of abortion. And you look at what these states are doing, like New York, they have taken off the gloves. Anybody that is doing anything on a pro-life spectrum is seen as being vilified and demonized. They're weaponizing legislation against us. We've got 6 different lawsuits now. We're being we've engaged just so that we can protect what we do. On a daily basis, to be able to continue to serve women with ethical medical care for free, apparently, is a dangerous idea to pro-abortion politicians, weaponizing legislation against us, trying to investigate us. We've been attacked literally by pro-abortion domestic terrorists, firebombed in our facility in Buffalo. We've been censored by Google, censored by Yelp. We've got all sorts of, it's just a new day. And now you've got chemical abortion on the rise. And New York State protecting abortionists and promoting and paying for abortion from people traveling to New York to get abortions, and so we've got to build pro-life infrastructure like never before. We've got to work together like never before. That's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Sidewalk Advocates for Life and our relationship. We are demonstrating what needs to happen all across this country, specifically where the battle rages the fiercest, and that is in abortion hub states, New York, California, Illinois, New Mexico, Massachusetts, places like that. So this is the new day. People need to step in, not step away. I think that we're seeing a lot of that happen now. So if people want to learn more about what Compass Care is doing to serve women and save lives from abortion, they can go to compasscarecommunity.com. That's compasscarecommunity.com.
Awesome. Jim, thank you so much. I just had a moment where I was like, we need to be praying for you and your team in a very special way. When we close out in prayer today, we will definitely do that. But I just want to encourage everyone in their prayer time today to remember Jim and his team, because you are in the lion's den. You know, at least here in Texas, you know, I jokingly call it, and maybe not even jokingly, I call it the promised land, right? A big state that protects life at conception and, you know, still very pro-life and pro-family. Susan's got something maybe somewhere in between, of course, still a pro-abortion state, but New York is where it is happening. It is the abortion capital of the country. And I just thank you and your team so much for being willing to say, we're gonna take this challenge like head on, right? This is not an easy task. And so we are so grateful.
Yeah. Thank you, Lauren. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We will be praying for you and look forward to our continued partnership. So, all right. Well, you can't hear it, you can't see, but everyone's giving you a round of applause, Jim. So thank you so much for being with us this morning. We're going to continue to cheer you on. Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
God bless you.
So good, Susan. So good. Oh my goodness. Great. I'm so excited that you got a chance to spend some time with him and their team up in the Northeast very recently. In fact, that was your latest trip, right?
It sure was.
Yeah. So good. All right. We're going to go ahead and close out the show. I'm going to do a brief scripture reflection and we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. Our scripture reflection today is 1 Corinthians 9:24, and it's an admonishment, really continuing with the theme of the show, to run as if to win. I actually posted this on Instagram the other day, and one of the things that I said, I'll just go ahead and read the caption here. I said, I'm not here to do the same old thing. I'm not here to form an organization or employ a ministry just for the sake of it. I know this packed a little bit of a punch, right? I'm not here to be popular. I'm not here to do anything, but the most effective thing insofar as research, testimony, and experience has taught us to this point, again, what the Lord has revealed to us until this point in history, to rescue the most children and mothers from abortion. That's what I'm committed to doing every step of the way and nothing less, because this battle is too important not to win. You know, again, I think it's so important that we don't just go to the sidewalk or walk into our pregnancy center or employ our mobile unit or, you know, walk into our daily lives, right? Just kind of checking the box. I'm not saying that we don't have moments as humans where we can kind of relax a little bit and rest. That is so important. That's part of the natural rhythm of life. But when we do step into the work that we've been called to do, are we running as if to win? And I think sometimes pro-lifers will look at that and say, well, that must mean that I need to, when I go to a site, employ a law-breaking strategy. I got to, you know, kind of run in there and stop everything and, you know, shout and do whatever I need to do just to stop abortions, right? But what research, testimony, and lived experience has taught us is that that mother who's walking in there is in crisis. So my question is, from everything that we know, what is the best chance of reaching her heart? What is the best chance of changing her mind? And love begs us to come outside of ourselves, to look at research, to talk to women who have had abortions, women who chose life with someone on the sidewalk, abortion workers who used to work in the industry and sell this to women. What do they say about what helps a woman change her mind in that situation? Boy, they are a golden population to learn from because they actually sold this to people, or they're currently selling it, right? And then the lived experience. When we have had our time out on the sidewalk, what has won more life-saving conversations? Have we noticed an uptick when we have covered more entrances and employed better materials and even maybe started the conversation in a slightly different way? I know that that's really on our hearts here at Sidewalk Advocates for Life, is to provide for you the most up-to-date research, testimony, and lived experience, so to speak, right? I just want to encourage everybody to run as if to win. Our God is a God of victory. He's invested in our victory. One of the most beautiful songs, I love to put this on sometimes when I'm facing a challenge, right? It's called Jericho. It's a beautiful Christian song. And one of the lines is, even before you knew my name, you were fighting for my victory. Even before you knew my name, you were fighting for my victory. And that's the kind of God that we have, a God who's invested in seeing us do our best and is invested in our outcome. And here's the thing, if we have done our best and still she chooses abortion, what we know as a people of faith is that God is not done with her yet, that he is the one that will, you know, leave the 99 for the one, that he will chase her down, that he will keep pursuing her. And all she has to do is turn around at some point and accept his love. That's the kind of God that we have. And that's the kind of faith that we have. So with all that, if you guys would go ahead and join me for a closing word of prayer. And then again, you might see Susan and I dance at the end of the show. We'll see. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had together. I thank you for the gift of Susan and Jim and our team and everyone who is listening to this broadcast this morning or will listen to it later on podcast. God, we just pray that you would be so present to them and helping them in their challenges, in their joys, in their struggles, God, you are in all of it. You are with us on the mountaintop and in the valley. And Jesus, we believe that you are working right now in our midst. Even if we can't see you, we know that you are the way maker. You know that you are making a way even when it's impossible. Even when we feel like we're facing a big Goliath and David battle, like in New York. God, we do lift up Reverend Hardin and his team at Compass Care and EMC in really the lion's den. As they continue to reach out to women where 50% of all pregnancies are aborted. That's just unbelievable to get our minds around. 50% of the pregnancies roughly in New York are aborted. And we just pray that life would have its way there, that joy and peace and hope would have its way there. So God, please, we just pray that you would send people into the harvest. To plant seeds, to water those seeds, to gather the harvest. God, we pray that this country would come around to life. Again, we thank you for the progress that's been made in the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the 14 states approximately that protect life. We pray that one day we would indeed be a pro-life, pro-family nation, a nation that loves life. We thank you, Lord. We love you. It's in your most holy and precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody. Susan, your inaugural show, congratulations. You did great. You even danced with us. And where did the music go?
Producer? I don't know.
There it is. Okay, we're all going to do the Nate, right? It's like you're swaying on a ship. Nate, I know you're going to watch this later and just be cracking up in the background. Hashtag do the Nate. All right, with that, we look forward to having you back with us next week. Again, we're here every Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, Facebook Live, YouTube. And then later, you know, we post a podcast. We hope to have you with us going forward. This has been so much fun. We love
so
you.
Much fun.
Thank you. Please join us in the future. Have a good week, everybody.